This is best friend of the show, Monica Cabina, artist and colorist on Batman, The Adventures Continue.
Hey, this is Jordan Gibson, artist of Batman, The Adventures Continue, and you're listening to the DCAU Review.
Hosted by Cal and Liam. Streaming at DCAUReview.com.
And on your favorite podcast app.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, everyone, to another exciting bonus episode of the DCAU Review. I am Liam, and with me, as he always is Cal. Cal, we had a little delay, which we can talk to a little bit later, but we are finally back with the next exciting issue of Batman: The Adventures Continue, season 3, issue 7. Too many numbers.
It's been too long. I mean, don't get me wrong. I enjoyed the little mini vacation that the Adventures Continue offered us. Not for great reasons, of course, but it was welcomed. It was nice not to have to record an extra bonus episode every couple of weeks here. But at long last, it has arrived, and we are here to discuss this issue, which is the follow-up to where we left off last month with The Offer Part 2. And of course, this is written by Alan Burnett and Paul Dini. And with art, we have three different artists on this month's issue. We have Ty Templeton, Norm Rapmund, and Jacob Edgar. As well as, of course, best friend of the show, Monica Cabina, back again for colorist. And then Josh Reed is our letterer. We'll talk a little bit about our covers in a little bit here once we go through our recap of the issue and then our discussion of it and the artwork here. But Liam, this is an exciting issue. We picked, if you didn't check out our last review, I don't know why you'd be listening to this review, but if you recall, we left things off with Catwoman and the return of the Court of Owls as they were in hot pursuit of her all throughout last week's episode, eventually revealed as they were attacking both Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn. And boy, what an action-packed issue this turns out to be as we pick things off right where we left off, as the Court of Owls have landed on at where Poison Ivy and Ivy are holed up with Catwoman there. And they are there to for whatever reasons unknown at this point, they are in hot pursuit of Catwoman and demanding that Poison Ivy and Harley hand her over. There is a brief scuffle that includes Poison Ivy using several different plants as weapons. We are reminded, of course, that the Talons, the Court of Owls Talons, are undead zombies. So that means we get plenty of violent action here in our first sequence, as some of them are beheaded, some of them are smashed. We get a lot of violent actions, both from our heroes and from our villains. So we get this brief scuffle that eventually leads to the Talons retreating, at least for the moment. Batman left stroking his chin, not quite sure what they are up to and what the reason for their return to Gotham is. We do get Batman showing some great concern, of course, for Selina, as she's a little worse for wear. And after this brief scuffle and after running away from the Talons, Batman showing up at Poison Ivy's estate also is awful convenient for him because he's going to kill two birds with one stone. She's going to help keep watch over Selena, but he also asks her to do some observation and to break down this special grain that Ra's al Ghul had given him. If you recall last month, the aforementioned offer in the title was that Ra's al Ghul was at it again, wants Batman to take over his operation, and he's said that he's given up on the using the Lazarus pits. He's accepted that death is imminent and near, and that he wants his lasting legacy to be this special grain that is able to continue its growth, feed millions, and Batman is suspicious, as he has every right to be, that there might be something up with this grain. So he does ask Poison Ivy to help him to sort of break down and kind of give him a better understanding of what the grain entails. And during this, we get Bruce, or Batman rather, you know, asking for their help and being a little bit kinder maybe than we're normally used to. And we do get a reminder that Bruce or Batman and Selina are indeed part-time lovers. I don't know how you would describe them. An item at times, interested in each other romantically. Batman decides he and Robin are going to take Catwoman to a quote-unquote safe place. Robin reminds Batman that jail might be the safest place for Catwoman to go, but Batman instead takes her to Tabby's Tavern, which is, a play off of the cat name. So takes her to a nice place to hide out and hold up for now, while he kind of gets the background story of just what exactly happened and why the Talons were after her.
That's right. So we get Selina's sort of flashback here as she was going to break into make another heist at a jewelry store downtown when the Talons simply showed up out of nowhere and swarmed her and grabbed her and locked her in a cell. They show that quite a bit of time had passed. She was in a cell for several days. We see her marking each day on the wall of her cell. And after several weeks in the cell, she sees a bunch of the Talons bringing in none other than Man-Bat, who, of course, we had briefly seen that Batman and Robin had taken him down recently at the start of the previous issue. But in his struggle with the Talons, her cell is damaged and she's finally able to escape, and just sort of went running, looked for an opening to get out of there. And that's when we found her last issue. And after a bit more flirtation, much to Robin's disgust, he'll understand when he's older. Robin's not sure what to make of it, but Batman is sort of making some uneasy alliances between this with Catwoman and of course the Poison Ivy as well. And now knowing again that Man-Bat could be involved, he heads over to see none other than Francine Langstrom, another original B-Task character returning here. And it's clear that Francine has had enough, and she's in fact leaving town and has finally given up on Kirk after all these years, and has decided that she needs to move on. And she actually gives Batman a bottle of pills, as we found out that the Man-Bat formula has been replicated and simplified to such a degree that just one of these pills is enough to start the transformation now. And she decides to leave, and we see Batman sort of discussing things with Gordon briefly. And as he returns to the cave, he's got a visitor. It's none other than Ra's al Ghul and Ubu, who proceed to have dinner in Wayne Manor with Bruce and Tim. And Ra's is once again sort of making the hard sell to him, and kind of makes an interesting appeal that he says he knows that Bruce's his promise, his vow to save Gotham is a surrogate for the thing that he couldn't save, and the thing that he can't restore is family. and that he has a chance to create a new one with Talia, which, you know, spoiler alert for the main comics, that's exactly what he did. so obviously we're planting some seeds here. Tim's still very distrustful as Ra's as well. From there, we cut to the Batcave, where Batman is talking to Ivy over the Bat computer and alerting her that and she's alerting him that the special grain that Ra's has showed, that is supposedly this wonder food, it doesn't appear to be deadly or toxic. However, it grows at a very rapid rate. And also, when she says she has the ability to sort of connect and commune with all plant life, but for some reason, particular strand of vegetation is not able to bond with her the way that other plants are. So she thinks there still could be something suspicious, though she doesn't know quite what it is. And again, they just need to get a better door lock on the Batcave, I guess, as now Talia shows up and is kind of once again making that same plea for Batman to take on Ra's al Ghul's place and to be by her side. But just then Robin runs in and alerts Batman that there's a new message on their comms line and that Catwoman has made contact, and something is afoot with these Court of Owls.
Yeah, and then you ever have that awkward moment where your ex meets your current one girlfriend meets your side chick? I don't know what exactly. I don't know how to compare this, but something. We get an interesting interaction here as we get Batman, Robin, Talia, and Catwoman all interacting with one another. Catwoman talking about how she's quite familiar with Talia, even intimates that she's stolen some of her valuables from her. And in the meantime, we do get the backstory as Catwoman has kind of put some pieces together and found exactly maybe the entrance to where the Court of Owls and the Talons specifically are hanging out. We do get the main they dub him Big Bird, but perhaps the leader, their leader, hanging out. He's got this cool gold shiny armor and these giant wings that he's wearing. So as they follow them into this tunnel, we get the first little kind of tussle between a couple of them, and Talia is quick to chop some heads off with her sword. We get some additional fighting, but they're kind of done away with pretty quickly. As they enter through these catacombs and different tunnels, Catwoman remarks that she recognizes it as where she was being held for that period of time, where Man-Bat was as well. And as they continue closer and closer, as they're getting closer, the rest of the Talons seek some revenge for maybe their fallen undead companions as they begin to attack the entirety of the group. Again, we get Batman and Talia and Robin and Catwoman all working together to try and take down the majority of the group. Once we get down to the last one, Batman holds him up and wants to know what's going on. What's the plan? Why was Catwoman taken? What was Man-Bat? Why was Man-Bat taken? What's at the root of all of this? And the Talon plays it off and says everything involved thus far has been general insignificance, and that the Court of Owls wingspan spreads far beyond Gotham, and that he'll soon discover just exactly what's going on, as he releases some additional monstrous looking, I guess they're rat dog things. I don't know. It's not, they're evil looking dog-like creatures, sort of resemble the apocalyptic dogs too,
a little bit. Yeah, the devil dogs.
What devil dogs, something.
Hellhounds. Hellhounds.
Say
devil dogs. I think are a hot dog,
or a hostess treat. One or the
something
other,
something like that.
But yes, it appears we're in for quite the battle as we get these monsters surrounding our group of heroes? /, and their accomplices. As we get the conclusion, the epic conclusion at that, So we got our cliffhanger leading to next month's finale. But yeah, so that is exactly what happens in this month's issue. I liked it. It felt jam-packed. I did feel like there was a lot that they had to get through. I think we've talked about it a little bit here. The pacing of this season has been has felt rushed at times. It almost feels more like back where we were in season one, where it was just like all of these ideas. And I don't know if this has to do with the fact that, maybe they were told this was going to be their last hurrah, and they had all these ideas or thoughts that maybe were planned out over additional seasons or things that they wanted to get done. 'Cause it really feels like with how we started with the season, the issue that that friend of the show Kevin Altieri worked on, which was a fine, fun issue, but really was a standalone. And looking at a 8-issue miniseries, it feels almost like wasted space in a way. Like it didn't really advance any of the other plot threads that have kind of played out. So you got to wonder. It's like, okay, so they added the extra issue from what they originally planned on doing so that they could get more of this stuff in, but it does feel very, very rushed. And I think we've talked about this maybe each season, but how they're going to wrap this up in one final issue, all these different threads, and, you know, put a bow on some of these things. I do not envy them, because I don't know how you're going to tie this all together. I mean, I'm sure looking back at it next month, we'll be like, oh, well, that makes exact sense. But how you're going to do it without making it feel like, you know, a giant conglomeration of ideas just smushed into a jam-packed issue that's overwhelming is beyond me. So it's very action-packed. It's very, I thought it was paced. This issue was paced pretty well. It just leaves me wishing that there was more of a opportunity to kind of flesh some of these things out, because it does very much feel like you get kind of get a little bit of something and then it's whoosh onto the next thing. So, I liked the issue. I'm intrigued for where things are going to end next month. How these interactions between Catwoman and Talia play out. What ultimately are the Talons up to? How does this play into the race stuff? Is Hamilton Hill coming back? You know, he got a name check in the issue. I think you theorized last month that the, you know, whatever serum it was that was used, that the Talons were undead people. So how that ties into Ra's al Ghul's plan that we've known all along is he's up to something. What is this grain? How does the grain thing fit into it? The Langstroms too, like Francine Langstrom, that scene felt almost like what there has to be something here in this scene that's going to be called on maybe in next issue, but it almost seemed like it didn't need to be there. So I don't know. There's a lot that I'm kind of questioning as to how they're going to wrap it up, but I'm excited to see how it ends. So I guess this issue did its job for that reason.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. I think creates an interesting conundrum, I would guess, from a narrative perspective for your final issue. Mm-hmm. As you, like you just said, there's just seemingly still so much to wrap up and how it all comes together, but yeah, we'll have to wait and see there. Yeah, as far as we always save the base of speculation for last, but I mean there was a lot to pack in here. You had left on the cliffhanger of the Talons attacking Harley and Ivy and Catwoman, so you had to deal with that. You had to deal with, you know, kind of continuing the thread of Ra's and Talia tempting Bruce, and now sort of Tim being more directly involved with the story. I really enjoy Robin's place in this story, as I often do, but I think especially in this issue, I think he's a lot of fun as kind of the voice of reason, just to remind Batman that, you know, all of these people that you're making deals and alliance with have probably tried to kill you at least once, if not more than once. But I think that's fun. And then you set up this kind of wild, like I said, a lot more action we kind of remarked on that in the last issue we covered, that was a very plot heavy episode with Bruce and Tim on vacation and Bruce going to the submarine and learning about this magical grain. And we had to kind of get the backstory of Raish, the Lazarus pits no longer sustaining Raish. So this one felt more like almost like a reset in that way. And then, there's a lot to go into. And then we can move there. Like I said, we'll save our little bit of speculation that we always have for the final issue. We'll save that for the very end. That's our main event here, Cal. So before we get to that baseless speculation, which we are famous for, we will, of course, spend a few minutes, as we always do, talking about the art. Mostly the interior art, though I will mention the main cover this month was by Juan Ferreira. Apologies, I'm sure I'm butchering that. Mm-hmm. With another few great variant covers, including a very fun one with The Riddler by Raphael Albuquerque, a Cliff Chang variant that sort of invokes the original animated series, and another great title card variant by the great Hayden Sherman as well, who also has a great Batman Beyond variant this month. So Hayden just killing it with the DCAU homage covers this month.
A twofer.
Yeah, absolutely. So credit to all of those great artists on the covers. But yes, as you mentioned, Cal, at the top, when reading our credits for this issue, we have really three artists to talk about, in addition to, of course, best friend of the show, Monica Cabino on colors. We have Ty Templeton, who, as mentioned, has publicly spoken about, has dealt with some health issues sort of flaring up over the last few months. And so he did work on part of this issue along with Norm Rapmund, a pretty famous artist and writer and inker, on several I think he did a lot of like Justice League International, which Ty also worked on, so not a surprise to see them linking up again to help Ty across the finish line on his page. And then we have a newcomer to our list of artists for Batman the Adventures Continue, that being Jacob Edgar, who has just kind of a different take on the BTAS DCAU TNBA style, but I think it still fits in this world. I will say it's almost page to page that we go from Ty to Jacob seemingly in this issue. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing, and like I said, I don't think one is wrong or right, but the biggest thing for me is the length of Batman's ears fluctuates greatly.
Uh-huh.
And, throughout this issue, and I know Mr. Edgar on his Twitter mentioned several times that he kind of wanted to create more of a hybrid style of the TNBA style and the original BTAS style, and then maybe mm-hmm. a little bit of his own personal style worked in there. And I think that's great, and that could totally work for this book. But it's just like immediately there's just a few shots of Batman and of Catwoman where it's like the ear length fluctuates, and it is I think noticeable. I'm not saying it's bad, it's just noticeable when it shifts but between perhaps Ty and Ty with Norm and then with Mr. Edgar coming on the book. But that being said, I think there's some really really striking images in this book. There's one that I think I forget if Jacob or if perhaps Monica had shared it, but there's just a shot of Ivy when she's on the computer screen talking, and she's kind of given the people's elbow, and it just looks like people's eyebrow, kind of cocking the one eyebrow, and she just looks like everyone on a Zoom call, like she just looks so fed up with the world. But I really like I believe that's Jacob Edgar on those pages. I really like his interpretation of Ivy, especially, and also fortuitous timing perhaps, but Harley is in a cowboy outfit that's pink, and a little bit of brand synergy there perhaps, as Harley's live action actress happens to be in a pretty popular movie right now. I don't know if anyone's heard of it, called Barbie. that color, and I think that exact outfit may have even made it into that movie. So that's a fun little an Easter egg to throw out there, is at least I assume the pink cowboy hat was a Barbie reference, and by extension a Margot Robbie reference, but perhaps I'm I'm mistaken there.
I don't think
it did. It did stick out to me there.
I even think that I saw that best friend of the show had mentioned being inspired perhaps by all that. So I dare say that you're not drawing too many conclusions with that one that are unfounded. So yeah, I think it's not a coincidence.
Absolutely. But yes, like I said, so we have a couple different artists. This is more of an action beat issue. Both of the first couple of pages where we have Batman and Robin facing down the Talons. And then we get Selina's flashback where she's sort of racing through the sewers. And then the ending bit there where we get kind of a few variations on the Talon design. As mentioned, there's one that sort of has like an open mouth that's sort of decaying. And then there's the sort of the bigger, bulkier ones that are kind of covered in this gold armor with these sort of bright orangish goggles. So I really like seeing the different Talon designs as well. And then probably I think if there's like one shot I'm gonna remember, it's where the one of the Talon with the wings on his back is racing to meet Batman and his crew, and he sees the decapitated body of one of his fellow Talons, and then we get this sort of half page splash of all four of our characters, Batman, Robin, Talia, and Catwoman, all sort of leaping at him with this sort of bright purple background behind them. I think that's a great iconic shot. But I feel like I've been talking for a while. But what stood out to you as far as visuals in our art for this month?
Yeah, going back to the start, you can obviously tell that this issue was done by different artists. I liked Mr. Edgar's take on things. You know, it is I think you hit the nail on the head in that it is anytime that you have multiple artists working on the same issue and you're reading it, it can kind of take you out of it for a minute for your brain to readjust. I will say the huge benefit to this particular issue is the fact that Monica's colors, it just kind of in some ways really camouflaged what could all be really jarring, I think. I mean, the Mr. Edgar's take on the pencils and stuff like that isn't that different than a normal TNBA style. I think he has a little bit more exaggerated facial expressions in some of what I assume are his panels. They're a little bit more angular than the typical squared off thing, visuals that we would see with Ty's artwork. But overall, I think the fact that Monica is so incredibly talented and is able to just kind of the glue that holds it all together for this issue for me is that she's able to just kind of like, yeah, this is all the same because look, everything's colored the same. Your eyes will adjust. It's just, you're kind of looking at it a little bit differently. So I think that helps with a lot. The fight sequences at the end are so fun. Both the visuals, you know, the Mr. Edgar's pencils and the way that, you know, the different poses that the characters are in. Batman's in these kind of super dynamic poses. You mentioned that one shot of all the heroes kind of together, you know, coming down on the one Talon and his shocked expression. The couple pages later, you kind of break from the normal panel sequence where you kind of have more action sequences that are broken up and they're not squared. They're off. They're also kind of angular. You get different triangles and different shapes that those panels are broken up into. That whole page, there's not a background in any of those scenes. It's just different shades of orange and red and yellow that are kind of all mixed in there. I love the way that kind of breaks up and really communicates the action that's happening in those sequences and the fight between the Talons and our group of heroes. I really like the one shot that as Batman is giving the interrogation to the last Talon at the end, you just get a close up of that Talon's goggle and you see Batman's reflection in it. I thought that was such a great looking shot.
Yes.
Just a really cool trick, you know, just a really neat piece to look at. I also think some of the way that, you know, some of the shots of Catwoman, the way that she's kind of moving or posing, and those classic, you know, hand down, knees bent, kind of rooftops stance. Mm-hmm. You know, the classic Catwoman look. I really, really, really like those. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think, in a perfect world, you would have one artist specifically, you know, maybe Mr. Templeton, giving him the chance to kind of finish things off. Get well wishes from us here, certainly.
Absolutely.
But hey, you know, life gives you lemons sometimes. And I really do think they made a pretty tasty glass of lemonade with what they ended up with here. Monica really kind of went. I love the green shades that she went with and the poison ivy scene at the beginning. You get lots of different various greens. You get the cooler green. You get the more neon green. You get the red sky mixed in with that, you know, but you really hammer home that this is an ivy scene. This is plant lady. This is whatever you want to call her, you know. You get the green there. The sewer scenes that kind of follow up with that, darker, grungier, dirtier browns, blues, blacks. The Man Bat scene. I really want to know how Man Bat fits into this, to be honest. I'm really curious as to what that's going to end up. It's got to be those pills, right? It's got to be something with it. I'm getting to baseless speculation.
Sorry. Meet me in the baseless speculation station. And I have a thing about that.
That's right. And then of course these demonic dog rat creatures at the end, also terrifying. Let's hope that they're not like the evil rats from Batman Beyond. So it's the only thing we can hope for, that that tortured Dana. But yeah, overall, I think the action sequences are punctuated with some pretty good art. You know, Monica killed it again with the colors. They even got to have some fun, as I mentioned, with the undead members of the Talons, you know, guys' jaws being dislocated and broken and teeth flying out, and Harley even gets to decapitate one of them with a little bit of blood flying out. So that's not something you always get to see either, whether in animation or in a Batman tie-in comic. So yeah, a solid effort by everybody all around, really kind of, you know, taking a bad situation or something that could have gone really poorly and kind of marrying a couple of styles together that didn't, or that gelled pretty well together, I think. So yeah, I think a solid effort all around.
Yeah. And as if we could ever say enough good things about Monica's colors, but again, working with multiple artists across this book, we talked with her about that earlier this year when we had her on the show, but yeah, multiple artists within the same issue, I'm sure, presents even more challenges. But yeah, I appreciate what you said. I think especially in Mr. Edgar's take on Catwoman, like, she's never just like standing like a normal person. Like, she's mm-hmm. perched, or even when she's standing upright, her back is kind of arched, you know, her head is moving in kind of interesting directions. So yeah, I think the posture and body language of her compared to, say, Talia or Poison Ivy or some of the other women in the issue is a really nice touch on the artist's part there. And Cal, that will bring us to, as mentioned, the main event of this, which is of course where we baselessly speculate one final time for now, as this is the seventh of eight issues of this current season, allegedly the last season that we're going to get of Batman the Adventures Continue. Now, you mentioned Man-Bat already, and I will just throw out that in the famous Batman and Son storyline, which introduced Damian Wayne to the comic books, there is a sequence there where several members of the League of Assassins are turned into Man-Bats, and Batman fights like a whole army of Man-Bats. So I do think that could be a tie-in with, as we've said, other allusions to Bruce perhaps starting a family with the Al Ghuls, with Talia in this one. I do think there's a chance we could see just like a whole host of Man Bats and these weird rat things and whatever else that might other crazy creatures we might see cooked up by the League of Assassins in the court in this final issue. But I could see a more direct homage to that that story written by Grant Morrison and art by Andy Kubert. So yeah. Pretty iconic introduction of Damian Wayne that also happened to feature Batman fighting like 1,000 Man Bats. So
there you go. Well, I'm going to double down on the speculation station from last month, and that is I truly believe that, especially with now we have interactions between Catwoman and Talia, I really think that we're going to get maybe a cliffhanger, you know, shocking reveal that Talia might be with child by the end of this issue. Ooh. Setting up for a non-existent follow-up involving a Damian Wayne reveal, or maybe, you know, opening that door if they ever do want to return to this later on at some point. But yeah, I will double down with that. I will also go on record my speculation in saying that I think we will get a Hamilton Hill return. I think the name check from Commissioner Gordon in this, and maybe this disqualifies it as baseless. Maybe that is the base in this case. But I would say that Hamilton Hill returns, maybe leading the army. We get him the big reveal, and then hopefully, hey, maybe. Do we get Batgirl here? Do we get Nightwing? Do we get anybody else helping, or is it just going to be Batman and Robin against an army of zombies and man bats and other creatures?
Yeah, that's a good question. It would be fun to see the whole team together for the final issue, especially if this is the end for the time being. So, yeah, that's something I would certainly cross my fingers and seeing some sort of a grand final superhero team up to end our series here. But yeah, I think whatever's in store, we will of course be back next month to cover that finale in Batman the Adventures Continue season 3. It's been a long time coming. We've been doing these, we were in the throes of COVID when the first season started, and feels like yesterday and at the same time. So excited to kind of look back on this series, maybe go a little bit into the series as a whole, and as we go, or maybe that's even like an extra episode after the issue
for 8
review, is a retrospective, so to speak, on the whole series and what we what our biggest highlights were. So
more content and bonus episodes, you say?
We're always looking for a way to milk this book for more bonus episode ideas. So we'll certainly figure out something down the road, but at the minimum, we will certainly be back next month to talk about that bonus episode. About the final issue of Batman, the Adventures Continue season 3. But we do want to thank everyone for listening today, whether you do so on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or of course, if you're listening on the Pod Tower YouTube channel, you can head to youtube.com/thepodtower and get content not only from us, but from several other DCAU podcasters like the Jump on the Batwagon podcast, where James from the Watchtower Database, along with one of his good buddies from childhood, are going back and rewatching the DCAU in episode air date order. That gets very convoluted and fun. And then, of course, Tim Talk's entire back catalog as well up there. So you can head to the Pod Tower and support us that way. You can also support us more directly and monetarily. There are ways to do that in the show notes, which you can check out. But however you do, the easiest and freest way, as we always say, is just to make sure you're subscribed to us on your preferred platform. And hey, if your podcast app allows you to leave reviews or give us 5 stars, we'd really appreciate you doing that. And if you send us a screenshot of that and you do it, we'll try to give you a shout out and chat with you and thank you for that as well. So we do appreciate that. And for those of you who do support us directly, like I said, there are ways to do that in the show notes. But hey, that's enough shameless self-promoting. Cal, can't wait. We've got one more of these Adventures Continue reviews to come, and maybe some other stuff afterwards. We can't wait. But until then, I'm Liam.
And I'm Cal.
And we'll be back soon with another episode of the DCAU Review.
Bye-bye.